Well, thank you very much indeed, Mr. Duke, and good afternoon to you all. This is the sermonette that I usually try to have printed out in large, bold type, simply to stop my notes disappearing into that sort of gold and silvery haze that they tend to on this day. Basically, I need all the help I can get in order to be able to speak coherently. It's probably true to say I need all the help I can get to speak coherently anyway, but be that as it may. The Church of God in Wales and the Church of God in Wales, USA, have been blessed in many ways. The primary blessing being a group of people worldwide who are dedicated to doing an extremely important job. Mr. Armstrong always used to say that the commission of the Church was twofold. Firstly, in proclaiming the gospel of the coming kingdom of God, and secondly, to feed the flock. The dedication of the brethren has enabled the Church, through its present minister, to place an enormous amount of material on various internet websites that are maintained by the Church, and to assist in areas where monetary hardship means that attendance for the Sabbath or the feast is an otherwise unattainable luxury. In many respects, those cash-starved areas are as supportive as the rest of the Church through their prayers, because in many instances, members from those areas are far less materialistic than those of us who live in lands which are materially blessed in the way that we are today. But regardless of how spiritually mature we may be, we are still here to do a job, and that is the job that we've been called to do. It may be more on our knees than through our checkbooks or pocketbooks. It may be a widow's mite. It may be more. It may simply be the prayers that we have for our brethren and for the work in general. No matter how we are used in doing the work, we are all the servants of the Most High, and it is to Him that we owe our loyalty and our faithfulness in doing the work that we have to do at this time. At the moment, the finances of the Church are in reasonable shape. There is not an abundance of cash, but there is a reasonable buffer for the current financial needs of the Church. The income in the United Kingdom and in the United States, from all sources, both domestic and external, are on a par with past experience. But regardless of our abilities to support this end-time work, we are all going to be put to the test. There are numerous reports that the world's economy is currently slowing down. Currency markets are becoming much more volatile. There is, at the present time, nothing that can be reasonably called a firm currency, with perhaps the sole exception of the Swiss franc. But even there, the Swiss are subject to numerous factors over which they have little or no control. This uncertainty is going to affect us all. It is going to impact on the ability of the Church to do its work. As I mentioned earlier, the present world economic scene is not an optimistic one. The United Kingdom and the United States are both in dire straits, and that includes dire financial straits. The US cannot sustain the fallout from another hurricane like Katrina. It is not just the physical damage to a city like New Orleans and the surrounding cities, but it is the knock-on effect caused by the damage to and the destruction of port facilities in that area, which does cause a bottleneck for the United States exports, and that has a knock-on effect, as I said, in the whole United States economic system. In Britain, the forecasts of the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Mr. Gordon Brown, are being seen by many as being overly optimistic. Both nations are seeing the withdrawal of blessings to which we have all become accustomed, because our nations have been swayed by Satan, and they have embraced the ways of Satan. Now, more than ever, this dying world needs to hear the good news of the soon coming kingdom of God, And the Church of God is a voice crying out in the wilderness. The scene set by Malachi is pertinent to the nations today. Our nations have collectively robbed God. And as recent events have shown, our nations are now being cursed. But soon, if the events pictured by this day will come to be an historic reality, Satan will have been removed, and our peoples and the peoples of the Gentile nations will all come to experience a way of life that God intended us all to lead. But until then, the words found in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 apply to these lands. I'd like you to turn there, please. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 reads as follows. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Eternal of Hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. This day, being the Day of Atonement, should help to crystallize our thoughts and bring to the forefront of our thinking the knowledge that Satan knows that he has but a short time, and that he is very angry. And we, of God's Church, are in the firing line. Now, I do not intend to cause undue worry, but we need to realize that we are in a very dangerous situation. And I don't intend to imply that God needs the offerings that we are going to offer today. Indeed, were it not that we were here, but he could raise up the very stones to do the work that he has in hand at this end time. But we have been privileged here to have an opportunity in doing a work at this end time. In these last days of a civilization, for want of a better word, which has been and indeed is inspired by Satan. We are in the third season mentioned in Deuteronomy 16, and we will turn there, in which we read the command to assemble ourselves together and to give an offering. I do not intend to go into the specifics of the church financial position, other than to say that the church is solvent, and that we do have a modest reserve. However, we do need to look to the future, regardless of how imminent the fall of this present age may be. For years, I have been saying we only have 5 years left. But now I feel that may be somewhat generous to this particular age in which we live. However, we are still required to be here, and we are still required to give an offering. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16 reads as follows. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Eternal empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing which the Lord thy God has given thee. So now it is the time that we will take up the offering, and as Mr. Hancock pointed out just a few days ago, it should be as we purpose it in our hearts to give, but it should not be to the detriment of our other family or commitments or obligations. But our offering needs to reflect the blessings which God has bestowed upon us. Whilst the offering is being taken up, there will be offering music. It will be sung by Mrs. Sylvia Duke, with words taken from Isaiah chapter 62. We have a city strong and sure,